Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Read verses 7 through verse 10. Very familiar verses of Scripture. Again, verses 7 through verse 10. Paul doing the speaking, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, the thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, the Lord, said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." These verses are part of an incident that happened in the life of Paul over 14 years earlier. And we see that in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians 12, leading into and forming the basis of our text is Paul's account in the third person of a very dramatic and glorious, mystical, out-of-body experience that Paul had experienced. Again, this was 14 years ago, and we see this in verses 2 through 4. And it was during that time, unspeakable things were revealed to Paul. Paul never tells us what was revealed to him, but our text verses tell us what followed that revelation from God. So the verses that we read for our text, very familiar to all of us, and without a doubt are recorded for the instruction of God's people concerning the suffering of the faithful. Also concerning, there's instruction concerning God's sufficiency, God's provision in times of suffering. There is instruction concerning what our conduct should be in such times. So what is recorded here, without a doubt, is meant to be an encouragement to us, meant to be for the sustaining of God's people in times of suffering, in times of trial. So in these verses, Paul is telling us how that God, in his care and in his training and protection, dealt with him in his suffering. So what is recorded here tells us that God is interested in our well-being. What is illustrated here is Romans 8:28. It is very clearly illustrated in these verses. So we want to look at these verses tonight. We want to speak upon the subject of beneficial gifts from God. Beneficial gifts from God. And there are two gifts that we want to dwell upon. First of all, there is the gift of suffering. That is a gift. The gift of suffering. Now, this is something that most never will view has a gift. In fact, the tendency of human nature is to view suffering as a punishment, as a curse. But these verses, I believe, tell us that suffering is a gift. I'm talking about for the saved individual. It is a gift that leads to another gift. That, of course, being God's grace. But notice, in these verses, Paul speaks of a particular suffering in his life. And what he describes was something that was very personal to him. Notice the personal pronouns in relation to the suffering that he is describing. In verse 7, he says, "There was given to me," personal pronoun. Then notice a thorn. "Me, a thorn in the flesh." We also read there in verse 7 that the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Me. It's personal. Verse 8, he says, "For this thing," referring back to the suffering, "I," once again, very personal. And we see also in verse 8, "that it might," it, again, referring to the thorn in the flesh, "that it might depart from me." Again, very personal. In verse 9, he speaks of my infirmities. My infirmities. In verse 10, we have the personal pronoun I. And then we read infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. But every time Paul speaks of these sufferings, it's personal. He uses personal pronouns. So what Paul is writing about was not something that he had merely heard about. It was not something that he had merely read about. It was not something that he had seen in someone else. Was not something that he had imagined. But it was his own personal experience. It was something that was very, very real to him personally. Speaking of his suffering. Now, what he describes was extremely painful. Extremely unpleasant and very distressing. In describing his trouble or his trial or his difficulty, affliction, adversity, again, notice verse 7, he refers to it as a thorn. A thorn. The word translated thorn is the Greek word skoplos. And it has reference to anything pointed. A thorn. Now for you and I, a thorn conveys the idea of something that can possibly cause pain. Something that can pierce the skin. Something that can prove to be very irritating. However, the root word for what Paul uses to describe here is a shaft of wood sharpened at the end to be used in battle to inflict massive wounds. So when Paul speaks of a thorn, he's not just talking about a little thorn on a rose bush. He's talking about something that can inflict massive wounds. And what is stressed here by the word thorn is the severity of his suffering, the dreadfulness of his suffering, the agony of his suffering, and the piercing nature of his suffering. It was a suffering that pierced him. It is a suffering that went through him. Now notice in describing this particular suffering, again verse 7, he refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. So it was something that caused physical pain. That being said, we need to understand and we need to be mindful of the fact. We all know this. We tend to forget it. But physical pain can lead to mental and emotional pain. The two are often connected. And mental and emotional pain can result in physical pain. Because most commentators believe that when he says thorn in the flesh, they limit it to something physical. But I believe this is something physical, mental, and emotional. It may have been physical first that led to mental or emotional. Or vice versa, it may have been mental or emotional and led to physical pain. But whatever, it was something that was very painful. It was something very unpleasant. Something very, very distressing. A thorn in the flesh. He goes on to, in describing his suffering, he makes reference to, in verse 7, the messenger of Satan. This tells us something else about the suffering. There was a satanic component in his suffering. May I say that makes it worse? There was a satanic component in his suffering. In other words, it was an act of satanic hostility and enmity, an act of satanic opposition. Now we learn from Job that this is something that God permits or gives Satan permission or leave to do in his people. That was the case with Job. Also in describing his suffering, verse 7, he uses the word buffet. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. The word buffet means to strike with the fist, to beat, to pound. So he's describing this suffering as a pounding. Again, it can be physical, it can be mental, it can be emotional. I believe it's all three. This is a tremendous suffering that Paul is describing. Also in describing this suffering, in verse 9, he talks about weakness and infirmities. And again, he makes it personal. Those two words, weakness and infirmities, convey the idea of ailment, affliction, frailty. It's something that made him very frail. It can refer to a disability, an impairment. From his description, there is no doubt Paul was suffering greatly. In addition to all of that, his suffering was ongoing. Now, Paul was a very faithful servant of God. As such, he had had personal experiences of trouble and trials and sufferings and afflictions and difficulties. He makes mention of these in chapter 1, chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 10, chapter 11. More particularly in chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Let's turn there. In verses 23 through 28 of chapter 11, he speaks of abundant in stripes, in prisons, deaths often. 5 times received I 40 stripes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep, that is, threatening circumstances. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Now all of these that he mentions there, in 2 Corinthians 11 verses 20 through 28, were isolated occurrences. They were things that he had experienced, but they were isolated. But what he's describing in our text is not an isolated occurrence. It is something that was ongoing in his life. In fact, at this point, it had been going on for 14 years, for over 14 years. Again, verses 2 and 3. So this is a lingering trial. This is a suffering that just lingered on and on and on for over 14 years. This isn't something that just happened once or twice or 3 times, as the shipwrecks and the beatings and the stonings. But this was ongoing for over 14 years. Now Paul speaks of all of this as something that was given to him for his benefit. Notice midway through verse 7. There was given to me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Was given to me. Now notice, in light of that, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him. Now, we don't have any difficulty wrapping our arms around that believing was a gift from God. And he states that right there. But also to suffer for his sake. Saving faith was a gift from God. But it was also given to them, just as faith was given to them, it was given to them to suffer. That means suffering's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. That was given to me. Paul is saying that it pleased God to appoint me this trial, this suffering. God was pleased to permit this trial in my life. God was pleased to give me this trial in my life. We read in Job 5 and verse 6, affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. That is, these are the will and appointment of God. These don't happen by chance. These don't happen by chance. There was given to me. Now all of those who believe that it's not God's will for the saved to be sick, and you've got some problems here, and you also have problems in the book of Job and many other places. But Paul says it was given to me. This thorn in the flesh. He says in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, let no man be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that ye were appointed thereunto. They were appointed unto affliction. So again, Paul says, there was given to me. He does not say, there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it happened unto me. That's not what he said. He said it was given unto me. To just say something happened almost makes it sound like it was by chance. But this speaks of a purpose. It was given unto me. It was a gift. Suffering is a gift. It is a gift from God. He says, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. He does not say that it was given unto him in cruelty. He does not say that it was given unto him in unfairness. But he says, it was given unto me. And I believe as you read, you see it was as a gift and as a favor to Paul. It was a favor to Paul. In describing it as a gift, and this is where we conclude that this was a favor unto Paul. In describing it as a gift, he twice mentions its design. Verse 7, at the very beginning, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that occurred 14 years ago. And then he closes verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. So this is the design, God's design, of the thorn in the flesh. This is God's design of the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He says, these were given to me lest, a conjunction that speaks of the possibility of something undesirable happening. It speaks of a risk. It speaks of a danger. This was given to me, he says, lest, in other words, the prevention. This was given me to prevent me being exalted above measure. So Paul, 14 years ago, was privileged by God to behold and understand truths of God that others were never privileged to behold and understand. And those revelations put Paul in danger of the sin of pride. Lest I should be exalted. So that he would not be exalted. So that he would not become proud. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. That makes it a favor. This gift was given to keep him from a particular sin. Suffering was sent into his life to prevent him from a particular sin. That's a gift. That's a favor. This was a gift that kept him from being exalted. He didn't speak it to others, whatever was revealed to him. So it's not talking about being exalted from others. It's talking about self-exaltation, pride. And this was given him to protect him from himself. When suffering is given to protect us from a sin and to protect us from ourselves, that is a gift. And that was the case here with Paul. Pride, the Bible teaches, brings ruin and misery into our lives. God sent this suffering into the life of Paul to prevent that which would bring ruin and misery into his life. Again, that's a gift. Suffering is a gift from God. We also see Paul speaks of this as something that caused him to seek God in prayer. Notice verse 8, "For this thing, this thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, this thing I besought the Lord." This thing drove me to seek God in prayer. When suffering drives you to seek God, that's a gift. That's a favor. Were it not for the thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. Were it not for the thorn in the flesh, Paul would have become proud. And what happens when you become proud? You move away from God. So were it not for this suffering, Paul would have become proud. He would have moved away from God. The truth is, we may have never heard from him again. We don't know. But there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And for this thing I besought the Lord. The word besought speaks to the fact that he prayed with a sense of urgency. He prayed with passion and vigor and diligence. And the truth is, most of the time, the only time we pray that way is when we are suffering. So when Paul says, "For this thing I besought the Lord," he's not talking about mechanical and feeble prayer. He's talking about definite prayer with a definite object and a definite aim. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, for this thing I besought the Lord." Again, his suffering was a gift. This led to a further blessing. Verse 9, we're told that he besought the Lord in verse 8. "And he," verse 9, "the Lord, said unto me." There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord. And he said unto me. So this gift of suffering not only spared him from pride and all that is entailed in that, it brought him into communion with God. He talked to God, and God talked to him. He said unto me. But this gift of suffering led to even a greater gift. And that's the second gift we want to look at. That is the gift of grace. Again, in verse 9, Paul heard from the Lord himself. And what he heard would stay with him. In fact, at this point, it had stayed with him for 14 years, over 14 years. Out of the midst of all the trouble that he was experiencing, out of the midst of his trial and difficulty, out of the midst of the vexing of Satan, while he's feeling the pain of his suffering and the burden and the unrest, there came these words from God: "My grace is sufficient for thee." There was given unto me suffering. But along with the suffering, there was given unto Paul grace. That, of course, the very meaning of the word is a gift. Grace is God's activity toward us in love and favor. The truth is, the suffering was by grace, and then God gave him grace to sustain him in the suffering. Grace is God coming to us. It's God coming to us. It's God intervening in our lives in love, in favor. God's power in our life. It's God's control, His love and care. It's God made available to us. That's grace. And this was a gift. Now, none of us will disagree that grace is a gift. Someone, as we just did, tells you that suffering is a gift. People, I don't know about that. But it's true. Suffering is a gift that leads to even a greater gift. Grace. This grace is said to be sufficient. That is, it is enough and it is more than enough. Sufficient for thee. I don't need grace for someone else. I need grace for me. This grace is sufficient for thee at this time with that thorn in the flesh and this messenger of Satan buffeting him. Notice Also, that this grace is connected with God's strength, which is God's power, His influence. He says, my grace, my strength. Grace is strength. Grace is God's strength. So, God gave him this suffering. And then God gave him His own strength to endure the suffering. So Paul was pleading for God to take away the thorn. And that's what we do. And nothing wrong with that, necessarily. He was praying that this thing depart from me. God, put a stop. Take this thorn away. Put a stop to the messenger of Satan. Paul, like all of us, preferred health to sickness. And he would rather have health than sickness. And he would rather have deliverance than pain. And God, as Paul prayed, take this from me. God, in a very assuring, caring, and loving voice, as only God can, says to Paul, Paul, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to take it away. But Paul, here's what I'm going to do. I will give you that which will enable you to live victoriously over it. It's called my grace, my strength. You know, we are so limited in our perception. Someone gets sick, we pray, and the Lord heals them. And may I say, if they're healed, the Lord heals them. The Lord heals them. We say, oh, that was an answer to prayer. Yes, it was. What if you pray for someone and they don't get better? In fact, they get worse. Oh, God didn't answer that prayer. Oh, your perception is so limited. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now notice the effect that this grace had upon Paul. It gave him, first of all, an understanding and a different view of his trial. He begins by praying, Lord, remove it from me. Take it away. But he comes to realize, by God's grace, that this suffering was given to him. Again, verse 7. It was given to him. And it had a God purpose in it. It had a God design. He came to realize that by grace. For my strength, he says, is made perfect in weakness. That is, God's strength which He imparts is more completely manifested when my people are weak. So he came to have a different view of his trial. He saw it as something that was given to him for his benefit. When a person is sick, or a person has had some kind of suffering in their life that has been ongoing, and they come to the realization that this is of God, and they're not complaining, but they say, this is of God for my good, for my benefit. That person has received the grace of God. Because you don't get there on your own. That's God's grace. That's a gift. God's grace gave him a different attitude and spirit toward his trial. In verse 9, Again, we see that he prayed thrice that God would remove this. And in verse 9, we hear him say, there toward the end of the verse, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." He's got an entirely different attitude. I will glory in my infirmities. I will rather glory or delight in my infirmities. Being brought by the grace of God to this attitude enables one to experience the power of God. Notice what it says again in verse 9. Will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me, may dwell upon me. He says, I no longer look at this suffering as a bad thing, because it's through this suffering that the power of Christ dwells upon me. He says, I'll gladly receive it. That's grace. Verse 10, therefore, since so many benefits result from this suffering, I take pleasure. Now, it's one thing to have suffering in your life, and perhaps you don't complain, but to take pleasure in it, that's something entirely different. That's something entirely different. And he says, I take pleasure. What did he take pleasure in? In infirmities, weaknesses, in reproaches, contempt, in scorn, in necessities. That is, needs, in distresses, affliction, and torment. He says, I take pleasure in these things. I'm no longer pleading to be rid of these things. I take pleasure in them, he says. That's grace. That's amazing grace. So he's gone from a petition to a song of victory. God in His grace has quieted His spirit. His turmoil has been turned into peace. We see also that God's grace gave Him greater purpose in life. Verse 10, He says, I take pleasure for Christ's sake. He's come to the realization by the grace of God, this isn't about me, it's about Him. For Christ's sake. He viewed the infirmities and the reproaches and the necessities and the persecutions and the distresses. He said, I experienced these things on the behalf of Christ, in the interest of Christ. So this gift of grace gives a renewed purpose in life. It also gave him strength beyond his weakness. Verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I'm strong. Now, if that's true, when we are weak in ourselves, then we are strong. When we think that we are strong in ourselves, that's when we're truly weak. God did not call us to merely endure difficulties. Well, this is my lot in life, I will endure it. That's not what God called you to do. God didn't just call you to endure. He didn't just call you to merely resign yourself to difficulties. He didn't call you to just settle to just get through the difficulties.
He's called us to live above the difficulties, to live victoriously above the difficulties. And He's given us the grace to do so. So God gave Paul the gift of suffering. The gift of suffering. Now, I'm not going to go to someone who is suffering and say, brother, sister, this is a gift. I'm not going to do that. But I will pray that God would bring them to the point where they see that it is a gift. It would be easy for you and I, someone else suffering, say, you know, brother, this is a gift to you. That's people are going to take that as dismissive. But when someone comes to that conclusion on themselves because of God's grace, that's wonderful. So Paul gave this gift of suffering. And Paul, just like you and I would, prayed for the removal of it. But God, in His loving care, did not change Paul's situation and circumstances by removing the affliction. He changed it by adding another ingredient: grace. Can God change our situation by removing? Yes, He can. Does He? Yes, He does. But God also can change our situation by giving us another gift: grace. And that's what He did with Paul. So though God certainly can rearrange circumstances, He does not merely rearrange circumstances. God's more interested in transforming lives. And that's what He did here. That's what God's grace did. In closing, my mom was diagnosed with MS, multiple sclerosis, right around 1971, 1972. And I saw the devastating effects of that disease in her for most of my life. It was a disease that took most of her sight. Her arms and legs did not always allow her to keep her balance or to walk. And her speech was often slurred. When I would call her, I'd always ask her, how you doing? And I could tell immediately by her speech. Because when the MS was bad, her speech was really, really slurred. Her life was an ongoing struggle for decades. But it was a disease that provided her many, many, many opportunities to bear witness of Christ, and she took advantage of those opportunities. And I do not say that, any of that, to exalt her, but to exalt the Lord. In the last few weeks, we've been cleaning the house. My mom wrote a lot of poems through the years. Some of them quite good, to be honest with you, but we came across this poem, and I want to read it. And the reason I want to read it is, again, because it manifests grace. It tells us, it draws us a picture of grace. Now, to really appreciate what is written here, you would have had to watch her in her life, in her sufferings, in her attitude toward that. And she wrote this quite a while ago. I know that from the handwriting. The handwriting is much neater. In the last year or so, you couldn't read her writing. It says, "I'll not give up or self-pity feel, because I know my Lord's presence is oh so real. I'll try and help others in all I do and say, for I know my Lord will always lead the way. The weakness and fatigue I'll bear, because I know my Savior cares. Sometimes when the pain is so bad I can hardly stand, I know I can always reach out and take my Savior's hand. Though I may stagger and stumble, my faith in God will never crumble. When my listless limbs no longer want to move, oh how my Lord His love doth prove. When all my Christian friends for me do pray, we know that God will lead the way. When sometimes it is very difficult to see, I know my Lord my eyes will be. When my speech is garbled and slurred, I know my Lord understands each word. It makes no difference what my troubles, God can burst them all like bubbles." That's grace. Amen. That is what grace does. It doesn't exalt the person. It exalts our God. It exalts the grace that only God can give. Now, if I'm told tomorrow that I have some dreadful disease, I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to rejoice at that moment. I'll probably feel sorry for myself. I'll probably say, "Why me?" And I'll probably pray, "Lord, take this, remove this from me." But God gives grace. And then when He gives grace, that's what changes our view toward our suffering. I have watched many suffer, children of God, and every time I'm left amazed at the grace of God. What grace God gives. So we see tonight two beneficial gifts, suffering and grace. And I guarantee you, for the child of God, if He gives suffering, He will also give the gift of grace. He doesn't give suffering without giving His grace. So, oh, how thankful we ought to be that God gives us these gifts for our benefit. "Lest I should be exalted above measure," Paul said, "these things were given to me." Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.